Okay, let's begin. Jesus, you are here. You are here with us and amongst us and within us. And for that, we are so grateful. Okay, pray you continue to open our eyes, that we would see you, open our hearts, that we would experience the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of your great love for us. And I ask this in your precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Okay, so last September, as some of you will know, Guy and I had the privilege of walking part of the Camino Via Francesco, which is the way of St. Francis, which retraces some of the steps that St. Francis walked, St. Francis of Assisi, that is, which technically starts near Florence and heads towards Rome via Assisi. Now, there are many such pilgrimage walks. Okay, and many people decide to do these walks for all sorts of reasons. For some, it is just to be out in the beautiful and countryside of Italy or France or Spain. And for others, it's their desire to walk the path of their beloved saint. For others, it's a choice to step aside from their everyday life to be with God. Now, the most often asked question that we had was, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you choosing to walk around about 400 kilometres? Like, why? Now, both of us took time to consider, to answer that kind of question. But I found that really hard to do. And part of the reason was because it was a challenge for me to put to words what my why was. First of all, it was because, well, what if I said what my hopeful expectation was, what I was hoping to get out of it, and then what if it didn't happen? You know, and I said, this is what was going to happen, and then people go, did that happen? And I'd go, no. It's kind of like, oh, you know. And so then my eye would be focused totally on that. Or secondly, it was that I actually couldn't articulate what it was that I was wanting to experience. And so in the end, what I did was I entrusted the walk to God, trusting that God knew what I needed and he would be faithful to it. And I wish that I could share with you that along the way I received some new and fresh and amazing theological insights. Well, I mean, I did, but they were generally quite, you know, personal and quite small little things. Although I had these amazing heavenly visions of things to come. Sadly, that did not happen. That was not my experience. Most of our days consisted of concentrating, putting our feet safely one foot in front of the other, while ascending or descending the beautiful mountainous terrain of Italy, carrying our backpack, our everyday life, our 7 kilos on our back, wearing the same thing every single day, eating the same breakfast and lunches most days. So there was monotony, there was the sameness, same thing, different location. But what I did experience was a deeper awareness of the presence of God. And it's really hard for me to describe to you what that looked like. It was something that I felt within myself. Yes, within my spirit, but in my body. It was a physical thing, and it was an all-encompassing experience. It didn't mean that I was having an out-of-body experience, that I was floating along with Jesus through this whole thing. No, I felt each step along the way. Yet the best way to say that I felt was that I had this deep-seated joy. This knowing that Father God loves me, not for anything that I've done, not for anything that I bring to the table, just because. And I became deeply aware, I was reminded that Jesus willingly came and walked this earth. And he talked and he lived to show us the kingdom way. And because of his love for me and all of humanity, he endured the pain of death on the cross. And he overcame sin and death. And he was raised from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, so that I can be free, so that I can have relationship with God. And I knew that the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, was with me and within me. And he was there to help me, to power me, to strengthen me, to teach me, to guide me, to comfort me along the way. not just in the everyday step by step, but in the extraordinary as well. Overall, I was reminded once again that God saw me and he loved me. And I knew this already. Yes, of course I did. But the truth of it sank deeper. And this brought about a new level of joy. Now, while all this walk was incredible, and most of the things that we experienced were wonderful, I had unfortunately brought some extra baggage with me. I still had brought along all the internal dialogue that was going on in my mind and the emotional and the physical challenges from New Zealand. Yet, this deep joy that came from being with God and beholding his presence gave me the safety and the peace to be able to process with him those deep things that were going on. And thankfully, I'm really pleased to say that some of those things were left on the trail. It was an amazing time. It really was. When I look back through the photographs, because I thought I might bring some photos, but most of them, my smile is too big for my face, and I just end up looking really geeky. Oh, this is really cool. So it was wonderful. It really was. And then we came home. And as you can imagine, the joy was still there. However, I could see that what with life needing to be lived out here in real time, the joy I was experiencing was kind of leaking away. And the battle for me, and I wonder if it's for all of us, is how do we maintain the joy of our relationship with God? How do we maintain this way of being in our everyday life? Because for God's part, nothing has changed. His presence is always with us, so it's not situational. So that means for me, I don't have to go back to Italy to experience the fullness of that joy. And the challenge for me is remembering that I can experience his presence and his love and his joy in my everyday life. Because let's be real, most of our days can feel like we're just putting one foot after another, climbing some kind of mountain or descending precariously down the other side of one. Our locations and our situations we face may change, but in all of it, God never changes. Joy is a funny word. We use it at Christmas and we sing joy to the world. And we know that it is a byproduct, a fruit of the Spirit's presence in our lives. But we don't really ask people, are you feeling joyful? No, we don't, do we? We usually ask, are you happy? Are you doing well? Are you happy? But happy we know is situational, and therefore it's fleeting. But joy is, and I quite like this definition, a deep and abiding sense of happiness and contentment, rooted in spiritual realities, particularly in one's relationship with God and the hope of salvation. It's deep and it's abiding sense of happiness and contentment. I like it. Rings true for me. Does it ring true for you? What might your definition of joy be? And what is your experience of joy with God? I wonder if you can remember the first time or even the most recent time that you encountered joy with God. Was it when you realized that he was an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God and he loves you and he sees you and he knows you and he desires only the best for you and he loves it when you turn to him? Or maybe it's when his peace comes and rests upon you and you feel like you can breathe and joy rises. Or is it a sense of freedom that you get through forgiveness? You know, because the weight of sins have been lifted off your shoulders. There's that sense of freedom. Do you experience the joy of God when you're amongst the beauty and the expanse of nature? Or is it when you experience intimacy with God and prayer, when you're discovering Him in Scripture, this is who God is, or is it in worship? Maybe that kind of feeling of joy is hard for you to imagine. I wonder then if you know what it's like to see someone that you love, whether it be your husband or your wife, children or grandchildren, or a really special friend after a after a sense of time, whether it be hours or whether it be years. You know, the joy that comes, that makes your heart smile, that makes your face smile. Or maybe it's when someone sees you and then their face lights up with joy because they're so pleased to see you. That's joy. And it's one thing to know about joy in our minds, but it's another thing to experience it in our bodies. And how we express joy is so unique to each of our personalities. For some of us, we will be exuberant and we will move with all of our being. And for others of us, we will be a little bit more circumspect. And that's all good. But these feelings and experiences of joy happen because of relationship and because of love. Whether it be the love of God as well as the love of others, this feeling of joy helps us feel like we belong, that we are loved, and that we're valued. This feeling of joy helps us realize that we're not alone, that God is with us, others are with us. And it helps us to be ourselves. If we don't have to try and impress and impress anyone else, we can just be ourselves. And it helps us to be honest and open before God and before others. And all of those things are so necessary for us to grow and live a flourishing life. And we see this highlighted in the blessing that God gave to Moses, for Moses to give to the priests, for the priests to give to the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The blessing is that the Lord's face is turned towards us. And the light of his love is shining upon us. And because of that, through Jesus, we now have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And we know that we are kept safe because he is always with us. And he is gracious to us. And his grace is more than enough for us. And we can have peace. He is our Prince of Peace. And the truth of that, if you can take some time to rest in that, to sit in that, is something to marvel in. And that really is the best way that I could describe how I felt on that walk. God's loving face shining on me, not for anything I've done, not for anything that I bring, but because he loves me. And God's loving face is shining upon you now. Not for anything that you've done, not for anything that you bring, but because he loves you. King David wrote a lot about joy, about this kind of joy, and we see it in all throughout the Psalms. In fact, he mentions joy 57 times. The joy of being loved, the joy of being known by God, and then the expression of his joy. Blessed and joyful are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. Now, all of those two in particular, are expressions of his joy because of the goodness of God. Yet in Psalm 16:11, which is a verse that I have memorized previously, in your presence there is fullness of joy. That comes in verse 11. Verse 1 starts off with, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. So here what's happening is that David is acknowledging that he has enemies who are after him. And he goes through and he lifts off all the problems and things that are happening to him. But at the end he says, but it's in your presence that I can find, that I can experience the fullness of joy. Even though this is going on, being in your presence is no other place. That I know that I am loved and I am held and I am kept safe. And in John, we read of Jesus who tells his disciples, there's this really a profound truth, that he loves them with the same love that the Father loves him. And then he tells them, I'm telling you this so that my joy, the joy that I experience being in the Father's love, will be in you. And it will complete you. So he experiences joy because of the Father's love. And our joy is made complete when we receive and continue to understand with our whole being that we are loved by the Father and the Son. So the question is, why do we need joy? Why do we need it? John Mark Comer, in his book Practicing the Way, says that there are three goals of a disciple of Jesus: to be with Jesus, to be like him, and to do as he did. And to become like Jesus means that we need to learn first to be with him. For in being with him, then we can know who it is that we should be becoming like, and then to do the things that he did. So for this to happen, as you know, we need to learn to be still and to be silent in his presence, to be able to converse together with him, to come to know the depth and the breadth of his love and the fullness and completeness of his forgiveness, and to know his grace and his peace and the freedom that is ours because of him. And as we do this, as we learn to trust his word, to trust in his promise, and trust in the goodness of God, it means then that we can lean more easily into the becoming like Jesus process. We lean in, opening our lives to the challenge of living in the kingdom, to living the kingdom way. And we open our spirits to this, so we open ourselves to the Spirit to teach us new ways of being. Not because we should do, but because we love him. Remember, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. And we love him because he first loved us. So joy becomes not only an overflow of our relationship with God, but it also becomes part of the foundation blocks on which we build our lives to become more like him. So if we have joy, how might we lose it? Well, it happens when we take our focus off Jesus and look more to the challenges that we're facing. We know that there are times, whether in our past or maybe it's even something that we're facing right now, that are really big, that cause us to feel things like sadness, anger, fear, shame, disgust, despair, whether they are towards others or about ourselves. And these are really big emotions, and if we don't know how to manage them well, we can find ourselves getting stuck in them. And when we get stuck, we can feel isolated in the unpleasant emotions. And when we get stuck like this, we can forget our true identity and we begin to behave differently. You know, we all know people who are really lovely and nice, but when they're angry, they're a completely different person. Or maybe that person is us. We know that it's not who we truly are, yet we find ourselves being governed by our emotions and our situations. So where does joy come into these? when they're so completely opposite? But then we consider Jesus. You know, how could Jesus have endured all that he did with the pain of being misunderstood, the arguments and the false accusations, the hatred and the evil that opposed him, as well as the fear and the doubt and the confusion of those around him, and knowing what people would do to him? And we're talking not just about his enemies, but his friends as well. Well, the thing was, is Jesus spent time with God, knowing and experiencing the deep love that the Father had for him, knowing that his presence was always with him, he was strengthened by joy. And that is why we can say that it has been said of him, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross and scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, through all that Jesus experienced, he was strengthened with joy. He was enabled to do what he did to accomplish in love what was necessary. And we are encouraged to do the same, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and to do as he did. And this means that we can endure these great emotions and still have joy. We bring them together. Now, I have known in my past and recently a deep sadness and a raging anger on both, two different occasions. And they're both very real emotions. And for me, it's inviting the presence of God into those places and being able to sit with them both together. And it's uncomfortable because I know I shouldn't be angry. I know that I shouldn't be feeling this way. I know that full well, but and I'm saying, Jesus, help me. Come and be with me in this place. Now, that feeling did not just immediately disappear because of the presence of Jesus. But I could learn to sit well, sit better, leaning more into Jesus than into the anger. And he helped to settle my emotions so that he could speak to me specifically about what I was feeling. And in regards to the anger, peace came. It's kind of like things kind of came down. I could see more clearly. And I could understand what was going on. Say it didn't go away, but his presence gave me the peace and the strength to journey through. It's the same with the grief, the deep sadness, inviting him into that place and being able to sit there. And in my sadness and in my grief, knowing I can lean back into his presence, into his love. And it's not just him, because God brings others alongside us as well, who will sit patiently with us, hearing our heart, hearing our pain, hearing our agony, and the joy of knowing that there are those who love you and who will walk with you strengthens us to journey through. The same is true of all those other deep emotions: anger, fear, shame, disgust and despair, sadness. We're strengthened by God's loving face shining upon us. And the joy and the hope that this brings helps us to journey through what it is that we're facing. It truly is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And again, that scripture comes not because everything was great and everything was happy. Well, it kind of was, but the people were aware of their state before God, and they were crying and they were in pain and agony because of their sin. But they were told, no, let's worship God. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So how do we get our joy back if we find that it's been leaking away? Because there are days when joy may be fully present and other days where it's not so. Whether it be because of the ordinariness of some days or there are just really some hard days, it can be really easy for us to lose focus of the joy that we have of being in the presence of God. And so to me, there have been times when what I've had to do is set an alarm to help me stop and refocus. I need to give myself time and space to pause, to breathe. Breathing is always good. To remind myself of the goodness of God. To remind myself that his face is shining upon me, that he loves me, that he is for me. And in that time of stopping and pausing, it means that I can refocus and reposition myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, before God. Yeah, turning toward God allows the light of his love onto my face, and it makes a huge difference. It's something very simple to do, and it requires intentionality. And then, like what Vic shared this morning, it's the being still and knowing that God is God. In the midst of everything going on, God remains the same. God remains good and God remains faithful. God is in control. I'm reminded too of a song of Jules writing, Jesus is a still point in the turning world. While the world and my life may just kind of whirl around us, Jesus is our still point. And it's reminding ourselves also in these times is how do we gain back joy, is to remind ourselves of those where we do find, where we have experienced joy in the past. You know, there are times when I do and I stop and I think of that time in Italy and my heart begins to burn and my heart opens up and I know, God, you were with me then, you're with me now. You are the same God. You are the same God. And then, of course, there is the practice of gratitude. It's a good practice to get into. We can do this at the beginning of our day, at the end of our day, or both. We can do this through prayer. We can do it in worship. We can do it as we write it down in a journal. We can do it as we sit around a table with other people. As we meet with friends, we can say, hey, what are the good things? What are you thankful? What are you grateful for at this time? What are the things that God has been doing? And what better opportunity do we have than to express our gratitude and our thanks and our joy around the communion table this morning? To position and to reposition ourselves and our whole beings before the Father who loves us, the Son who died for us, and the Spirit who lives and moves within us. To be reminded of the joy of the presence of God in our lives and in our midst. Before the emblems are distributed, I'd like to read a poem that Lynn wrote last week, which I think fitted really well. And it says, with Jesus as your Saviour, dance for joy. Fill your heart with light, nothing will destroy. Let your feet move with thankfulness over the ground. Feel the certainty to know his love will always abound. Lift your arms in lift your arms in everlasting worshipful praise and invite him to fill you through all your days. With Jesus as your destiny, let him fill your heart and allow him in each day as you make a start. Speak to him as your friend in quiet prayer because you know that your Saviour will always hear. If the emblems could be passed out, please.
Close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, yes, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, that you would shine your face upon us. I ask that you would shine the light of your love upon us. And I pray that this morning it wouldn't just be something that we give mental thought to, but that it's something that we can experience physically or emotionally, spiritually, the light of your love on our face, because you love us. You love us so deeply and so richly. You delight in us. You delight over us. And the joy that rises within us, an awareness of your goodness and your presence with us, becomes our strength, becomes our hope as we journey through the things that life brings us. And we thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. I pray you would increase our capacity, that we would be full to overflowing. And I thank you that we can experience your joy not just in special moments and special locations and times, but in our everyday life. And with thanks and with grateful hearts, we receive and we take these emblems. In your precious name, Jesus. And so before we finish, before we join in song together, can I pray? Can I bless you? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.